Done.
It is my great pleasure to welcome back to the Many Rivers stage, such as it is, and certainly the Many Rivers sacred space, our dear friend Denise Berry. She has spoken here before. Some of you may have had the good luck to hear her on the radio, on the Mystical Positivist radio show a couple of weeks ago. She gave a wonderful interview on that show, and that's available, by the way, at mysticalpositivist.blogspot.com for podcast download. But Denise Berry Sensei has been touched by, moved by, and has herself moved with Aikido for now these many years, since she was a teenager, in fact, as she told us first when she spoke here at Many Rivers before, and at other times as well. And I am so delighted she has been willing to come back and talk to us once more about her work. Thank you so much for coming, and welcome.
I'm going to hold these in my hand, and the agreement is as long as I remind you that they're for sale at the end of the talk. Nice to see you all here. Thank you for coming. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. I have an Aikido school that's right down the street, Kumukai Aikido. It's in the South Point Shopping Center. And on Monday, we will be celebrating 16 years of practice together on the spring equinox. And given this economy, that feels like an even greater accomplishment. The title of my talk is, in the first talk that I gave here, I gave a pretty clear overview of Aikido and what it means to me, and I will maybe go into that a little bit tonight. How many of you know what Aikido is? Should I give a view? Most of you, pretty good. Does anybody need a little overview?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so Aikido is a Japanese martial art. It's a non-violent, non-fighting martial art, and you know, at the moment, my heart is really breaking for our relatives in Japan right now who are suffering, really going through it. Can really through being in this art for as long as I've been in it, feel my connection there to the history and the traditions and so forth. But it was founded by a man named Morihei Ueshiba, and Many Rivers just does a fabulous job of having a large selection of Aikido books, which are on display over here. But I'm very grateful to you guys for being really rich in, as a resource there. But the founder was he was actually a kind of a sickly boy, not very physical. And as he grew, he did some sumo work as a young boy, and then he went into the martial arts and was studying jiu-jitsu, which is a fighting art. And he went as far as he could go in that and became incredibly accomplished and was considered to be unbeatable as a fighter within the art. And so having reached that level of mastery, a certain pinnacle, a tremendous amount of respect was afforded to him, and he realized that there was something that still felt very incomplete in his being. And he came to the conclusion that winning at the expense of another wasn't really winning at all, and that there needed to be another way. And so in the course of his martial arts training, he started to go very deeply into spiritual work, spiritual practice, working with in the Shinto tradition, and so the world of spirituality and martial arts started to join together for him, and out of that Aikido was born. So Aikido is a relatively new, considering the tradition of martial arts, it's a relatively new martial art. And it really started to flourish around 1925. In 1925, 1930. It hadn't quite be, he had a few different names for it, so it hadn't quite become Aikido. Until after World War II, things really shifted for him, where he realized that that we can't be fighting each other, that we can't be at war with each other, and having the art of Aikido be a practice that produces harmony, that teaches about conflict resolution, that is nonviolent in nature, would be a way for people to come together and work together at a fairly deep and real level, to be able to work through some conflicts and to be what he considered to be at one with the universe itself. Which is kind of a tall order, but it's a good goal, I think. So what Aikido means is it's broken down into three kanjis, Aikido. And I means harmony or love. Ki means energy. And Do is the way or the path. So Aikido is the way of harmonizing your energy with that of the universe. And it's you could just consider the universe to be the universe, or you can consider it to be, you know, your family, your relationship, your work environment, whatever that is. But how do you move harmoniously in your environment, and how do you practice harmony within your body? So the kind of the triangle of that is that he described is to train in a way in which you're integrating your mind, your body, and your spirit. So that's a fairly comprehensive level of integration, and some people work directly with their spirit, some people directly with their body, some people directly with their mind. But in Aikido, because our practice is taking place in real time in a martial context, to be able to deal with somebody striking you, trying to hit you, attacking you, basically, and to stay in that in a very peaceful, calm place, to be able to deal with that and to peacefully resolve the conflict, is actually not an easy thing to do at all. When you do it, it feels incredible. It's truly a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be completely in harmony with another, to be completely in harmony with yourself. And it's a throwing art. So along the lines of judo, jiu-jitsu, the attacker comes in, and basically you're getting out of the way, or what's called off the line, and then you're joining with the energy of the attacker, with the movement of the attacker, and after that joining, after that unity, then you're redirecting the energy. And in the practice itself, the redirection of the energy ends up with one person falling down to the mat. So And you're taking turns. You're going back and forth. So you're practicing throwing and you're practicing attacking. Yeah.
Could you speak a little louder, please?
I will try.
I myself am near the door, but I'm actually hearing, I'm trying to hear a little bit better.
Okay. Is there anything of that you want me to repeat?
No.
Okay.
Just louder.
Okay.
I'm sure you're, because it's what you're saying is exquisite and interesting.
I'll drink
if you
some
want, you
tea.
Can sit in here. It's very nice. You can hear nicely.
I don't want to interrupt. No, that's okay.
Yeah. No. It's up to you. Anytime.
No. So much to you. This is right.
Some people say it's moving meditation. There's a lot of different interpretations of what it is, but there's a stillness, a quieting of the mind. You can't think your way through Aikido. You think about what you're going to do for a minute, and then you have to feel it. You have to experience it from an embodied place. So some basic principles of the embodiment are just at a minimum to start to feel your own body. So I'm going to pause just for a second and ask you right now to feel your own body. And you don't have to sit up, you don't have to, you know, get your feet on the floor or anything, just to feel it without any right or wrong about it, but just what does it feel like to you? And then to be in the question of, do I ever check into my body to see how it feels? And for some people, it'd be like, yeah, I do that moment to moment. And for other people, it'd be like, maybe. Maybe sometimes. But in our culture, we're not particularly trained to live from an embodied place. And so it takes having some kind of a dedicated practice, I think, to be able to train yourself to keep your attention there, to keep your attention here in your body. And oftentimes what happens when we first start to check into our body, one of the first things that we feel, and you may have just felt this, is some discomfort. So it's like you go in there and you go, it doesn't feel good in there. And so we go back out. But that's generally just kind of the first level of things, of going into your body. And that actually there's so much richness and so much that's available to us from getting out of our heads and dropping down into what we call a more felt experience. So in Aikido, when we're practicing, it's really obvious if you're thinking your way through it, because your technique doesn't work. But there's a big leap that you have to take to be able to drop down out of your head and kind of let go of that mental control, if you will, and actually feel your way through things. So as a practice, if you were to, say, come into the dojo and start an Aikido class, it would be very structured. We wouldn't just say, just move and feel and go with the flow and do whatever you want. That would be too random. But through the practice, through learning how to move in particular ways, learning how to place your attention in particular ways in your body and in the relationship, over time, as we advance, then we can start to deal with, Osensei had a term which is takemusu aiki. And roughly what that translates into is the spontaneous arising of technique. And so rather than to say I have a prescribed way of dealing with an attack, or I have a prescribed way of dealing with a situation in life, that because I'm present enough in my body, in the world with what's going on, that I can then make, respond. Basically respond without a lot of calculation. So it's a very, ultimately the practice is about being incredibly present and being very responsive to life as it presents itself. Are there any questions thus far? Yes.
Just a quick comment.
Uh-huh.
That the body was smart enough to include the brain and the conceptual mind. The mind, the conceptual mind seems to have a genius for leaving different thoughts out, excluding things.
It's what things?
Excluding things.
Uh-huh.
Excluding things. And it's so sad. It's so sad that that the conceptual brain has actually become our point of reference when the body is sufficient, because it includes the brain.
What we're finding in the work that we're doing, I've been blessed with training in depth with a number of teachers that were able to spend time with Osensei. We call him Osensei, which means master teacher. And what we're finding, so a certain level of the work that we're doing right now is really making going much deeper into the innate intelligence of the body. because the body on its own, I mean, a mind needs to be there, but the body on its own is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, and it will give you the information that you need in so many situations to be able to handle things. And so where we thought that the mind was maybe kind of 90% of the game here and the body was 10%, that it looks like things are shifting a little bit to say, let's put a greater percentage on the body, and that the mind is going to participate in that. And with the analogy being somewhat of like your body is like a train and the mind is more like a passenger on the train. So it's not that there's not a connection, but the mind is not driving the train. Okay, there's actually tracks that the train can run on. So, so at a much deeper level, if you were to come in and really spend some time in the art, and be willing to take that leap from trying to do everything from a mental place and to come much more deeply into an embodied place, then what starts to happen is that there's this feeling of surprise. Oh, that's how that works. The body starts to inform the mind, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize that could happen. I didn't even realize I was capable of thus and such happening. But especially for us Westerners, it is so difficult for us to kind of let go up here and to allow ourselves to explore. But I think that letting yourself feel is really a basic tenet of what we're talking about. Feel what you're feeling. Feel the feelings that you're feeling. Feel or experience the perceptions that you're having. Trusting your intuition. Being able to move from a balanced place. All of these things are going to, at a minimum, really shift the quality of your life to that of being much more here, much more present, much more engaged, and able to handle the energies that are coming through us all the time. The universe wants to support us. It wants to help us. It's there. When you feel kind of bumped or pushed or, God, something's kind of pushing on me there a little bit, that's a helpful thing. But it can't really help us if we don't know how to open and allow the energy to come through. So one of the things that we work with is a thing that we call sizing. So sizing being like you on your worst day, you and your smallest self, you don't want to take on a big project from that place. That's not going to be a good idea. You know, it's like on certain days you shouldn't sign a contract. You know, it'd be better to wait until you're in a better place to be able to do that. But you can work with your sizing so that we start to go into the realm of dimensionality, where you can start to create more and more space in your own system so that larger percentages of energy can move through you. Now, for a lot of people, that's scary. It's like, I don't know if I want to let that much energy come through me because it might take me over, or there might be something may happen that I'm not controlling or that I can't really manage. But really, if you, one of my teachers says that there's no such thing as a bad energy. There's no such thing as an energy that's too big for us. We just have to create a big enough space within our system to be able to accommodate it. So an analogy of that would be, there's a fire hose level of energy that's coming through you, and you're the size of a garden hose. Well, that's going to be a problem. So the interpretation of that could be that fire hose energy is bad. It's too strong. I can't handle it. And then we reject it, and we try to hold it away. Rather than to say, wow, there's a big energy that's trying to come through, let me see if I can become fire hose size so that energy can move through me much more comfortably. And the energies come through for any kind of a task that you want to do. You know, if you're going to go out and plant your garden, which many of you will do as spring starts to come, there'll be an energy that comes through to help you in, as a gardener, to help you do that good work. Or if you have to go, you know, repair your house, or you have to have a difficult conversation, the energies are always there to support you. And the more connected to your own body you are, to be able to give them room to come through, the more energy you'll have and the easier it will be to do things. So I get tired. I mean, I'm human, but also it's sometimes being tired is just a matter of being kind of like energetically clogged up. And so getting to go into the dojo and move around and create some space in my body and letting some energy come through, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm not tired anymore. So there's some just really fundamental great things that can happen about getting more comfortable in that way. Some ways to place your attention. Really, really basic practice is certainly to feel your feet, and to feel your feet on the ground, to feel your connection with the earth. And so the word that we use for that is to be grounded. And that these words, being centered and being grounded and being present, they're much more common in our everyday language than certainly they were when I first started Aikido. But being grounded literally means having a very clear relationship with the earth. That you're actually able to let go of your holding, to let go of your tension enough to allow the earth to support you. So just take a minute for yourself and imagine that you don't have to hold yourself up, that the earth is here supporting you, and that if you just relax and let that happen, let that be there, let that connection be there, that there's a whole lot less work that you have to do just to get through your day. Okay, grounding, feet on the ground. Center is traditionally it's located just below your belly button. Oftentimes it's referred to as your hara. And that's an actual location that you can place your attention. So taking whatever is going on up here and placing it here, placing your attention here. There's a spot in there that is very peaceful, is very quiet, is very calm, and it's in the very middle of you. So should you let your attention drop down into there, not only will you be relieved from some of your mental chatter, but your whole awareness and presence will be coming from a much lower place than from coming up here. So imagine then that somebody's trying to hit you on the head, and you're able to feel the earth underneath you and to feel your center and to be able to move in a really balanced and graceful way. That's part of what we do in Aikido. Third principle would be, I'll return to centering in a minute. Would be your center line, so that you can hold your attention in the very middle of you. So there's a point of balance here in the middle of you, and a point of balance in the middle of you here. And so keeping your attention here would be another way of centering yourself. When I first started doing Aikido, the emphasis was on centering through the abdomen, through the hara. Where we're going with the work now is that the center is us. That if we're in a true enough alignment, that our whole system will be like, it's like a column, and that's center. And out of that column then radiates what we call the field, through that alignment, that suddenly there's an aliveness of energy. Some people might call that it's past the aura. But there's a field of presence, there's an energetic aliveness that's outside of the body. So my understanding of O-sensei, because he was in such an alignment with himself and with the universe, that when people came to attack him, that when they entered into his field before they got to him physically, that they would find themselves being completely altered before they could actually get their hands on him. And so it's like, well, what would that be like? You know, to approach somebody and have your consciousness be shifted before you can actually put your hands on them. What was he doing there? And I'll just say that nobody has ever reached the level that he has reached in Aikido. So it's not about technique, and it's not about years of practice. Because it's like, at first people were like, well, if we practice for 50 years, then we'll get it. But we have a lot of people that have been practicing for 50 years, and we still don't have another O-sensei. So that's not it. So centering, and then your field, and when people enter into your field, if your field is very alive and engaged, they'll notice that. Some part of you will notice that. So go back to somebody trying to hit you on the head. You can feel your feet and your being connected to the earth. You feel balanced and calm through your own centeredness, and you're embodying this presence, this connection to your field that perhaps is strong enough to be able to alter somebody's perception as they come in close. The dropout rate is high.
Oh my God.
It's difficult. It's very difficult to do. I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage and willingness and hard work and frustration and all of these things to be able to do it. And then of course your heart is in your body, and your brain is in your body. So all of it is a body. And so if we can start to go through life more as that all of these pieces of ourselves are potentially integrated into a whole, rather than this thing below my head as a transportation system, then everything starts to shift and change, and we're able to be much more present here. So the title of my talk is Being in Balance, Being in Flow. And we're out of balance. We're out of balance in our lives. The universe is out of balance. We are not balanced in our bodies, particularly. And so as things speed up, things are going faster, there's more and more pressure on us, things as we have known it don't exist anymore, that there's a huge breakdown, there's a huge paradigm shift that's taking place. And I don't know about you guys, but it's at times kind of scary. You know, it's like, where are we going? What are we doing? How are we going to navigate all of this? Everything seems to be falling apart, and then you have something like the disaster in Japan, and it's like, if that happened here, how would we do? What would we do? How would we be? It'd be hard to tell. So let's set our intentions that won't happen here. But my sense of things is that it's things are not going to get easier or more gentle or softer or easier anytime in the near future. And so given that, we can fight that, we can resist that, we can say, you know, I'd like it to be like it was, you know, 20 years ago, but it's not. So something is in the process of dying off, and then something is in the process of being born. I personally feel rather excited about what's being born. I think there's that as hard and as dark and as challenging as these times are, that we are living in an incredibly rich, creative, dynamic time in the life of the universe. And that what is, and so we need to hold out hope here. But more than holding out hope, which some people disagree with the word hope because it doesn't involve any action necessarily, but to say, what am I going to do? Who can I be? How can I be that can help be a co-creator in the evolution of things? And so things are evolving. They're going to evolve either with you or without you. So do you want to be come along for the ride? And do you want to be a participant in that? So I think that as you see everything start to break down around us, you also start to see that people are coming up with brilliant ideas about how to make a living when they can't find a job, or how to do this or how to do that. And it's like, and people are having to come together. So I think that there's been a maybe a time when maybe people weren't as community-minded as we could be, but it's really becoming very obvious that we need each other and that we have to figure out how to work together, and we have to collaborate and we have to coordinate in order to be able to do this, and particularly if there's any kind of a disaster, that we need to be able to reach out to each other and to be able to count on each other. And so so the thing that for me that I love about Aikido and that I love about these practices is that it gives me a very steady reference point that actually doesn't change a whole lot in the face of all of this movement and all of this chaos. So when things are like, wow, how are we going to do this? How are we going to deal with this? I feel overwhelmed. I don't know if I can handle this. Then to come back to these principles of ground, center, breath, center line, connection, relationship. And when things get really overwhelming, if we don't have some place to anchor our attention, then I think it gets more overwhelming. And more overwhelming and more overwhelming, and then pretty soon we're spun very far away from ourselves and it's very difficult to know how to get back. So to keep a practice of staying connected to yourself, knowing yourself, staying connected to your own body, I think right now is very, very important. I think it's important to decide how much you want to be participating or be a co-creator in the evolution of things. Do you want to be a midwife of sorts to help the birthing of whatever is going to be born and created, and to have that be a positive thing? Because we all have the choice and we all have some level of empowerment to be able to do that. The principle of aligning. So when we're practicing Aikido, one of the basic principles is aligning to our attacker, aligning to what's in front of us. And so as I align, the practices that I just gave you are a way to work on aligning to yourself. Then to work with aligning in to what's in front of you. So if you have a very important job interview that you're going to go to, how do you align to that? I'm giving this talk tonight, so I had to align to, what do I want to say? How do I want to meet these people and share this information? You have to do the dishes. How do you align to that? So I think aligning is a very important thing, because if we're out of alignment, then we're uncomfortable. And it takes a tremendous amount of energy to sustain ourselves from that place. When we're out of alignment, we can't let the energies, the universal energies that want to come through us, it's harder to let them come through to support us to be able to do what we need to do. So we're learning in Aikido, how do I line up to you? You're sitting in front of me. How do I line up to you and meet you and connect with you to be able to say, you know, hello, thank you for being here, so that my attention isn't someplace else while I try to do that. How do I line up to the fact that I'm really stressed out and I need to change something in my life? If I need to change something in my life, how do I line up to what needs to happen? And then how do I take action from there? So Aikido is, because it's a martial art, one of my teachers that was here recently, she said it's a spiritual path encoded in martial logic. And I liked that a lot. I hadn't heard that as a description, but I liked that a lot. But in that sense of that we need to be able to take action and not be in reaction. And this is, I think, also one of the things that's really happening these days is that there's a lot of reactivity and not a lot of kind of centered responsiveness to things. And a reaction, for me, generally happens in my body before there's a thought that associates itself to that. So if somebody says something or a situation happens, and you know what a reaction feels like in your own system. So the reaction generally causes a constriction. It causes to come up and out of that feeling of groundedness. It oftentimes will take you out of your center. Sometimes you'll say things that you wouldn't say if you were in a calmer, more centered place from that reaction place. So one possibility in the training is working with this process of aligning, is to say, I'm going to align to things and then notice when I'm in a reaction. And when I'm in a reaction, I'm going to take a minute, because I know that that's probably not the best place to be doing something from, and I'm going to settle, and I'm going to relax a little bit, and I'm going to recenter or reground myself, and then be able to have that conversation from there. So practicing all of these things, aligning, working with your own reactivity so that you can settle yourself down and be more effective as a co-creator in your life. And there's another very important principle in Aikido, which is called irimi, entering. And it's really, it's like moving into the tiger's mouth. And for most of us, if something strong or something intense is coming towards us, we tend to not want to meet that. We tend to not want to move towards that. And so in our training in the dojo, in our training in Aikido, this principle of irimi, to me, has been incredibly valuable, because it shows me how I can move directly towards what's asking for my attention. That may be to resolve a conflict. That may be to move into a feeling that's trying to get my attention that I don't particularly want to feel, but I know I need to feel it. Okay? It may be that there's a task that you've been putting off for a very long time, and so you're going to move towards it rather than avoid it or move away from it. So irimi, entering. Noticing in your life if you're avoiding something, if you're moving away from it, or if you're actually moving towards it. And then if you're moving towards it, are you doing that from a kind of centered and grounded place, or are you careening towards it in a relatively out of balance place? I think that one description of Aikido is that Aikido is about the peaceful resolution of conflict. So I personally don't like conflict at all. It makes me really uncomfortable. And yet conflict is, it exists, it's around us, and inevitably you will end up in a conflict somehow or another. So what do you do with the conflict? How do you work with that? In Aikido, Daniel, one of my black belts, he grabs my wrist here. Okay, so grounding, centering, aligning, extending some energy, allowing the energy to come through. Here he is, he's holding me. If I push into him and I can't move him, he pushes into me, he can't move me. He says the earth is flat, I say the earth is round, and we're stuck here. So what do we do? Well, I'm pretty sure I'm right, and he's pretty sure he's right. So how are we going to, you know, solve this problem? Well, the principle of Aikido, hang on, the principle of Aikido is for me to connect with his point of view, to move in, and then to turn and look at his point of view. Here. So I can't remember if I was round and he was flat, or he was flat and I was round, but I can, for the moment, here, say, I would completely understand why you would think that the earth is flat. Just for that moment. And he says, thank God somebody understands me. And he starts to relax. Just simply doing that. From there, we don't have a lot of room, so I'm not going to like throw him around the room. From here, I might say, but really, I'd like to convince you that the earth is round. Okay? So, but if I never, this is where we have so much trouble with a conflict, if I'm like, you're so wrong. You know, if you only could see my point of view, then, you know, really, everybody'd be better off. But, you know, he needs to be heard. He could be totally dead wrong. But from his point of view, he's not. So he needs to be heard here. He needs to be met. He needs to be accepted. He needs to be understood. I don't lose anything by doing that. I'm fine. And then I could say, but would you be willing to consider?
Yes.
Okay, the hitting on the head, yeah, I don't know if you can imagine this, but I'll just say, if he comes and he hits me on the head, okay, I'm not dumb, so I'm not going to stand there and be hit on the head. Mm-hmm. God, this guy always hits me on the head, I don't know why. You like, get out of the way. Okay, get out of the way. So, but this could really take all of my attention. So that I'm like, wow, that hand is coming right at my head. Well, as you can see, I must look different to you right now. Hopefully I do. Okay. So if he comes in and go, okay, I can deal with that here. So again, I've moved in. I've gotten off the line. Maybe I come this way here. And his energy is going that way, so I can redirect it. Okay. His energy is falling here. So why am I going to argue with that? Let's let it fall. In fact, let me help you with the falling. I'm going to add to that. Okay. So there's a lot of techniques. That get very round and circular and all kinds of things that way. But you can, hopefully that you can see that the work that I have to do here involves all of these things that I've been talking about tonight. His work on the other side of it is to receive this because we're not fighting. Okay? He says, I'll come in, I'll offer you the attack here. But we're not fighting, so then his work becomes, how do I receive your response? How do I receive your response? So he's offering what he's offering. I'm adding a little bit to it. And he becomes what we might call the listener. Here, at this point, I'm going to do a forward roll. So in our culture, you know, we're very good at taking and we're not very good at receiving. Receiving. Actually, somebody, it says, if I come up to you and I say, you just seem like a very lovely man. Thank you so much for coming to my talk tonight.
You're welcome.
That's a big offer. And to what degree did you actually let that in and receive it? Seemed like you were getting quite nicely. Okay, but you know how, it was nothing, you know, really, it's just didn't have anything better to do, so I'm here, you know, the lights were on, I came in. So that's not exactly receiving, okay? So he trains himself to say, I've offered this thing, and I will receive that and allow myself to listen to what you have to say. So I think that as a communication model, as a conflict resolution model, that just to be able to listen, to each other, to say, okay, I hear what you say. I'm receiving what you're saying. It may not work for me. It may not fit for me. I may not agree with it. It doesn't mean that you're passive. It doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean anything negative. Just that we can start to be able to hear each other. We can start to be able to be with each other in a way where I'm with you and let's together find a solution to this kind of thing. So the other description that we oftentimes give Aikido is that it's the art of non-resistance. So I've been doing Aikido for 34 years, and I'm really not very good at non-resistance. I'm good at non-resistance on the mat. I was not resisting anything that he was doing. And so you get, you know, get me out there, you get a bunch of people running at me, trying to hit me on the head or whatever, and I can practice non-resistance really quite well. But when it comes to life, when it comes to something happening that I'm not real thrilled with, when it comes to feelings that are coming up that I don't necessarily want to feel, well, that resistance can come up pretty darn fast. And then you can even resist resisting. That's a fun one. So how can we start to be able to live a way in which we're non-resistant, at least as best as we can? And this is where being in balance, being in flow. So if I feel balanced enough, kind of secure enough in my own system, and something comes up and I don't really like it or I don't want it to be happening, I'd like to change it, manipulate it, control it, manage it in some way, but I can't, then I can totally contribute to my own suffering by continuing down that path. Or I can see if I can relax and join with what's happening. Okay, now let me always come back to, it doesn't mean you have to like it. Okay, going with something doesn't mean that you have to like it, but it does mean that you're stopping fighting. So you're stopping fighting yourself, you're stopping fighting life and how it's trying to move you or influence you, and just starting to move more fluidly, more naturally, more easily with that larger energy force or that larger intelligence, perhaps, that wants to shift us and kind of move us around. So we say, it shows up oftentimes, I'm going to bother you one more minute, if he grabs my mortal pick. So this one is a tough one because it's a two-hand grab here, and it grabs the mind. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to move that. So I could put a tremendous amount of effort into trying to figure out how I'm going to move that, and I could smile at him and try to soften him or, you know, oh, won't you do it lighter? Or, you know, could you change something? Because I'm having trouble dealing with this. And if he holds steady, which is his job, that means then that I have to do something much different than all of that. So I have to, A, accept the fact that he's holding me in a way that's kind of freaking me out. I'm not freaked out, but you know what I mean.
when I first started Aikido, this would maybe freak me out to be held like this. So I accept this. I'm not fighting it. I'm not resisting it. He's holding strong. He's holding steady. And the more I accept it, the more information I have really about how to work with it. And it's like, oh, well, he's got a little bit of a break in his balance over there. And if I kind of explore how that starts to move, suddenly my arm can go up in the air. Goodness, he's tipping backwards, and I could probably drop him pretty quickly right now. Okay, but that meant that I had to actually accept and not fight the fact that he's holding me here. And I have to go back to all of these principles. Grounding, settling, opening, centering, breathing, meeting, aligning, connecting, allowing the energies to flow, and not fight that this is exactly what's happening here. And just simply by doing that, he's not doing that on his own volition. Okay? He's doing, his body is changing shape out of me meeting him fully in what's happening here. And the more he's responding to this, his balance is breaking, the more I can then just kind of fill that out and take that space. Possibly do something like that. So, co-creators, living more in our bodies, being more connected to the earth. I think the earth, as we refer to her as Mother Earth, I think she's a little upset with us at the moment. because we're not taking care of her, we're not connected to her, I think that she would be much happier and maybe not work so hard to throw us off if some of us could form a much stronger relationship there to her. My proposition is that we have a very loose group of people forming what my tentative name is it's the balance core, and that we're each, as in like the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, that there is a core of people that are committed to doing what we can to be living in balance, to be living in a more embodied way to help create that balance, and that we just have that commitment so that in any moment that we can wake ourselves up enough to be able to catch it, and we say, I'm not in my body right now. Let me see if I can drop my attention down and be in my body. I'm not very balanced right now. Let me see if I can bring myself into balance. And that may mean working more. It may mean working less. It may mean eating more. It may mean eating less. Sleeping more, sleeping less. Whatever it is, you know what your own life entails and how in balance or out of balance you may be. And to be in the crux of Aikido is to be making these fine adjustments all the time. So you, if you just sit down quietly and reflect on your life, I think it'll be pretty obvious where your life is in balance and where it's out of balance. And I think if more and more of us can make this commitment to being living more in balance so that our actions are more in balance, but our presence is a more balanced presence, and our thoughts and our reactions and all of these things, that it might help. It certainly won't hurt, but it might help. And then to be taking care of each other, to be in community, to listen to each other, to actively engage in conflict resolution, to just be stepping up. Because I think that there's, my understanding of what's happening right now is there's this huge realignment that's taking place, and that those people that have the kind of internal willingness and strength and presence to be able to be strong through this will matter a lot and will be very, very important. to this change that's taking place, and that people who don't have so much of a practice, they don't have so much of a willingness to show up in that way, they're going to have a hard time. It's going to get harder, and internally it will feel more chaotic. So I just put that out there as a proposition to become a member of the Balance Corps. There are no dues. Freely participating. So there's a apparently the Earth's axis, the alignment of the Earth's axis was shifted in this earthquake. So there was an element of a Hopi prophecy that I saw recently that basically said that the part of why we're having so much trouble is because the axis of the Earth is out of alignment. And the Hopi they're pretty savvy in their prophecies. And so, you know, my question is was this shift in the alignment, did it shift in a good way? Or are we in more trouble? But maybe some of you have heard this, a Hopi elder speaks. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth, create your community, be good to each other, and do not look outside yourself for the leader. Then he clasped his hands together, smiled, and said, "This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. No, the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time for the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for." Attributed to an unnamed Hopi elder in the Hopi Nation in Arizona. And then I'll just close with, I teach children and adults. And Jacob's one of my students right there. And the children have to write an essay in order to be able to take an Aikido exam. And they're so great. I love getting these essays because it's like, you know, we actually don't talk a lot in Aikido. We're training. We're just moving our bodies together. And so I like to know what they're thinking about things. This was an essay that came in today. And the first couple of essays that they have to write is basically on why I like Aikido. And after that, I give them more focused topics. So why I like Aikido, this is maybe an 11 or 12-year-old. I like Aikido because it focuses me if I have a bad day at school. Aikido helps me keep cool if someone is talking to me in an unfriendly manner. When I go to Aikido, not only me, but everyone in the class is told to stay grounded, and then throughout my day, I stay focused. Aikido's techniques can challenge you and make you feel good. The techniques can only work if you are clear, focused, and grounded throughout your movements. In Aikido, my personal goal is to make it as far as I can, making my techniques as clear as I can. In the end, Aikido is the most enjoyable martial art that one can ever experience. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a sense of Aikido and also maybe a sense of at least from my perspective, some tools for how to navigate these times. And I really appreciate you all being here, and I appreciate everybody at Many Rivers for their support of the dojo and continually inviting me to come and speak, trusting that I have something to say, and for being here and doing this important part of the work here. So thank you, all of you, very much. And if you have any questions, I think we have a couple of minutes, otherwise there's some announcements. So are there any questions before we end this?
I had a question about, I was interested by the comment you made that sometimes you have difficulty with resistance in other areas of your life, whereas on the mat you are very trained to move with forces that are coming toward you. And I'm interested in what your experience and the experience of your students have been in the way in which the practice migrates to the other centers. Like how it infuses into the your emotional reactivity in other situations, or how it infuses into the cognitive processes in terms of how you think about things. And does that naturally happen? Does that take time to happen? What is the relationship?
I think it takes a tremendous amount of work for it to happen. I don't think it happens naturally.
So you're saying it happens, there's an intention that has to be said that's in addition to the practice, or a complementary or a different level of the practice?
Yeah, I think that there's that, you know, it's very easy to just get good at Aikido and not have it affect your life at all. There's a whole bunch of people that are incredibly talented at Aikido and they're not very nice people.
So then I guess let me focus the question on your own unique contribution, because from my experience of you is that you actually have a much greater integration of the wisdom of Aikido in other centrums. So what is the nature of that extra thing that you've done for yourself, and are you conscious of imparting that to members of your dojo?
Well, you can ask my students that. I try. Definitely I try. I try to have it be as relevant to daily life and to how you are in relationship to yourself as possible. In terms of my own system, I think that I'm just constantly trying to keep myself as awake as possible. You know, how to notice the areas that I'm falling asleep, to notice where I'm resisting, to notice where I'm struggling, where I'm fighting, where if a conflict comes up, I'm in more of a reaction rather than a response. And then to be fine-tuning it. There's this process of refining, mm-hmm. you know, of okay, let's get a little better at that, a little bit better at that. And that takes a tremendous amount of attention to all that is arising as a felt experience, as a thought, as a history, kind of coming in and interjecting itself that takes me out of the present moment. So my work is, I feel internally, is very rigorous, and oftentimes I just feel like I fall incredibly short of where I would like to be. And so, but then at that point, it's not like, oh, well, there's something wrong with you. It's just, you know, go deeper into the practice. Go deeper into that work. Because I don't think that giving ourselves a hard time or beating ourselves up or being super critical actually helps anything at all. I think it's a matter of in a sense, softening and moving towards what's here, moving towards what is, in a way that where you're just fully meeting yourself and being as fully present and functioning and engaged as possible. But it's rigorous, and I think a lot of people really, certainly as they first attempt to do it, find it exhausting. You know, it's like, that's a lot of work. And it is a lot of work. But I have, from a very early age, wanted to be as awake as I can be. So to me, it's worth it. You know, for somebody else, it might not be as delicious.
Well, that's part of the question I had, just to understand your contribution to Aikido and your lineage versus other people who may be more related to it as a martial art or a sport. What you're describing sounds like it's something that is a sensibility, you know, in other traditions, like we call it self-observation or self-reflection, meditation of various forms, ruthless self-honesty, not criticalness, but self-honesty. All of that sits with the discipline of the practice in the work that you do.
Yes, yes. And with that, it comes a lot of vitality. You know, it's like, ooh, that was a tough one to walk into. But, you know, once you walk into it, you do a rimi with it, really, and kind of meet yourself there, all kinds of energy gets released, and then there's an aliveness, you know, that I start to feel, an aliveness that's available that just makes it, you know, like I tell people, I don't understand boredom. How can you be bored? There's always something to be, you know, kind of working with or paying attention to, even in the worst of situations.
Especially in the worst of situations.
Do you have any form of, like, meditation that goes along with it? For example, when I was in Kung Fu, our Sifu always ended our sessions with a meditating form.
Not per se. It's. I think the work is particularly where I am now with it is much more about this journey down into the body and being as fully present and connected in the felt experience as possible. so the practice is about presence and being present, and not so much. Sometimes we'll sit quietly for a few minutes, you know, before we bow or something like that. But it's directing the attention here. And we tend to start that way so that we're not, you know, halfway through class and everybody's still out of sorts. But it's sort of like, let's get here. You got your body to the dojo. Now let's get here in the body. Let's be actually fully here and then practicing from there. That's why you could receive that so well, huh? Other questions? Yeah.
Nature is made of oppositions, like the upper jaw, lower jaw, oppose each other, and it gets translated into life, into eating and food. And in a certain way, like the earth opposes our foot and opposes the earth, and because of that opposition, we get to move along. Everything, it's like there is an opposition between the sound, the voice, and the eardrum that's vibrating. the word adversarial and non-adversarial has become very important to me in the last year or so, as opposed to resistant or non-resistant, and it's the circle is made of oppositions. On the circle, everything has an opposite, and those opposites are in relation, and it's an intimacy. There's always an intimacy to be found. Does that relate to is there an intimacy? There's an intimacy in Aikido, yes?
Well, many of us say Aikido is the study of intimacy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's very intimate. It's very intimate because really in order to do it well, you have to take your defenses off. Mm. You have to actually just be here. And just being here in an undefended way is pretty intimate. And so that's where having some ground, having some places to put your attention when you're feeling that kind of raw and naked and vulnerable is really important, because from that place of vulnerability, of being undefended, of intimacy, if you will, very rich exchanges can take place. But it's also, it's scary for most people to be able to go there. But yes, I totally consider it to be a practice in intimacy. Thank you. Anything else?
That reminds me, when you say it's a practice in intimacy, that assuming your apparent opponent's point of view, dropping your own enough to really step into the posture, the shoes, if you will, mm-hmm. of your opponent, mm-hmm. is a tremendous act of vulnerability and intimacy. And from that point, how do you choose to do what's best for the two of you? Is it a reflex? Do you think about what move you're going to do? If you're going to throw him to the ground, for example, kind of hurtful to a part of the two of you in a way of self-protection. Does it throw self-protection into the weeds? So what happens to the whole idea of attack and defense or response when you've moved into that place of intimacy?
Well, O-sensei said to take care of yourself and to try to take care of your attacker, mm-hmm. to practice the loving protection of all beings. There's not a thought, at least in the practice of Aikido, there's not a thought about where does this go. There's that when the two energies come together and become one, they're out of that oneness. It's sort of like when two rivers come together. Rivers coming from this way and coming from this way, and they meet and they become one river going in its destination. There's generally a quickening that will happen when those two rivers come together and they meet. The water will, you know, maybe there's some white water, maybe there's some rapids, that sort of thing. So there's a rush of energy. So in the Aikido, when the energies come together like that, it becomes a very creative moment right there. Because there's no opposition, the energy just starts to move together, and that's when you can redirect it. If you're trying to redirect it before that happens, that's when you have some opposition and some conflict, and the edges get a little bit rougher there. Mm-hmm. One of my descriptions of good Aikido is that you thought you were going one place, you find yourself going another place, you're not sure how you ended up going there, but it's okay with you.
And you didn't have to think it up.
No.
You just did it.
It's a felt experience. And that's the thing, is that when you think about it, it's got rough edges and it doesn't feel good. And when you're absolutely in that connection, it's so much about connection, that when you're in that connection, it's incredible. I mean, I live for that feeling. It's so beautiful. It's so completely harmonious and connected to another and loving. But it's not like, oh, let's be harmonious or let's be loving. It's not an idea. It just is a feeling that comes out of the depth of that unity and that connection. And it's so sweet. Anything else?
Thank you. That was wonderful. On behalf of Many Rivers, I want to point out several things, a couple of announcements here. Number one, we have a donation bowl over on the front counter. We encourage you to contribute to it because we share this with our speakers so that to further their work and
don't
to maintain. don't be in resistance to contributing. And so the space is supported and our speakers are supported. Furthermore, there is a flyer I have noticed from Kumakai, I believe.
No, that's Jared over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Another person over there. Take it back then. Okay. So, but I know that you must have information about Kumakai and contact and stuff like that. So I'm sure... I know that Daniel over here and probably some other people here as well could probably provide you with contact information about Kumakai.
Kumakai.com is our website, so you can just Google that. We will be actually offering a class on this a week from Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11:30. You can just come and drop in. No throwing, no falling, just basic.
So that would be the 27th, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
Okay.
The 27th, 10:30 to 11:30. And we're asking a $15 donation, but it's a donation. If you just want to come and be on the mat and experience that, please do. You can check the website. I'm available to work with a group if you have them, to do some group work. And I also work individually with people. I also do cranial sacral work, so that's an interesting dance with between the Aikido and the cranial work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a number of different possibilities there. I'm also going to do a women's class in May. That will be on Friday mornings for women that would like to come in. That would be non-falling as well.
Where is it?
It's just down the street by McDonald's, across the street from Costabella. And I would also like to just say that this book, it's not an easy read, but it's fascinating. And this is, many of the books about Aikido or people talking about Aikido, this is the founder's words. These are talks that he gave. So if you're really interested in like the deep spirituality of it, this would be the book to take a look at. It's excellent.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming out tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing you again at Many Rivers.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You know I'm Stuart.
Yes, I do. I just had the privilege of meeting you the other night. Yeah, thank you for coming to the talk.
Well, I wouldn't have missed it. I have a podcast for your appearance on
that. Yeah, that was fun.
I have a couple hours.
Right. Yeah. Good. Well, let me know what your thoughts are about it.
I will.
Thank you. No, it was a woman. Maybe you were here that night.
Thank you.
But anyway. She's on there, but I think it was her.
I would like to ask you, what is the youngest age that you of children?
Six.
Okay. I have a little grandson who's five, and his kindergarten teacher told me that he's in a Waldorf school. And she said, they get out of school. That's kind of what you're saying, basically.
What
I'm saying is that I'm not sure what you're saying. Well, I think there's a reason, though. In Waldorf thinking, there's a very good reason I didn't go into all of that with his teacher. But it has to do with development. It's not physical, but other kinds of development.
Hi. How are you?
I've
been looking and moving up here.
These are cute.
I have. You already have?
Well, it has to do with desire for fighting or desire for
crying.
I don't know. There's something to it that I don't totally understand because I haven't really sat down and talked about it. But I trust it. I mean, I trust her judgment.
I'm not working.
I think that's a rule in the law, but I mean, I just was curious. So when you said X, I thought, that's kind of interesting. That in your experience, that's what works for me. Oh, this little guy is doing it to his body, but I'm not sure. He's done gymnastics and is really good at it. Really loved it. We called him Circus Lay since he was like a year.
I don't know where he is.
I don't control my destiny.
Go with the flow, as she said.
Did you hear from her? Did you hear from her?
Yeah.
gives me such a
place. We're in New Mexico.
It does.
My husband's
come from gymnastics. Mm-hmm.
I'm
not surprised after watching his class week after week. I can really believe that.
Yeah. So, you know, I would especially look at the
okay. So, sometime in the next year, not he's the center. He's actually a very good member, but he's very ready.
In your family?
He's very ready. Unlike some kids, his older brothers weren't ready at that time, so he's just trying to protect him. Oh, I'm sure. Okay. I'll talk to his mom. Yeah, I'll talk to his mom. I was kind of feeling that life together in the swimming right now, so because, you know, summer's coming up. So that would also be if he wants to. Mm-hmm. But he's really going to want to do this. And it's just a matter of when.
I was wondering how much.
Good. Thank you.
$39?
Yeah. I'm studying the shift from what I call brain center, word center, language to body center, language. Incorporating hand gestures, so words don't take over. Which means pause. So that the listener can the speaker maybe think about what they're saying and check the news. Because we don't know how much power we have surrounded.
So no one was trying to hit you on the head.
Culturally. That's one of the things that I'm looking at. I don't think we get from here to there when we're kind of working.
For reasons that you know.
So shifting. I worked with Steve for a while. I started doing sign language, and I noticed right away when I was doing signing that a shift took place in the body. And it felt really good.
Yeah.
And I learned that what the experience was I was able to say a word and hold on to the energy of the word at the same time. And it made it talking was actually throwing a certain energy away that this other way was able to hold on to. So now I'll pause myself.
I was wondering what you look like you had to be pretty agile to
and it's especially exciting when I do it in the middle of sentences. And then I get to I get to see that it's an actual ship moving from conceptual space back to my conceptual space, and then you go back and forth. And the goal is to train the sign to actually shut down the conceptual brain. And it works. And this is my story. I went to it just out of desperation.
You're Michael.
Given the nonsense that I come up with too. It's about it's all about recognizing the feeling before it turns into words and witnessing the feeling, sitting with the feeling, and then making a space. And this is something we can do for each other too, with the gestures and recognizing that the feeling turning into words and the feeling, just the feeling can be two different things. But ideally, they don't have to be. And that's when the word is actually birthed
itself. I can tell the thing on the bottom.
Okay. And you're across the street from McDonald's or in the same?
Usually shopping center.
Oh.
Looks like it's a probably.
Thank you. Thank you.
That they might have.
Hi, my name is Anne.
I've
heard you talk before. I trained Aikido for 6 years.
These were like they came together.
It was in Sebastopol. It's a production that doesn't exist anymore. No, it wasn't Centerfield. It preceded Centerfield. And all of you did visit Centerfield. This is a Shoshoyan. Yeah, very different. Different style. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't. Obviously, I couldn't take out an accident, but I've been involved in the school, and so I approached the principals from a different, similar principles, but emotional ones in other contexts. Physical training. It's very similar. To a different language, the same thing. And anyway, I did actual physical training, but I'm 75 pounds heavier now, and there are a lot of things we did. I just couldn't do it. Like the chemi. So I would like to try your workshop there.
You get to say where you are.
It's
not about him or her or
Yeah, we should turn that.